This morning, we're going to continue our series on peace. Lord willing, I believe that we're going to wrap this series up next week, but I believe that it is something that has impacted my life, and I hope it has yours as well. I believe it's something that we need today in the body of Christ. Peace, something that everybody wants, but the truth is most people are confused about exactly what it is or how to get it and how to keep it. Our world is filled with anxiety and tension, so much so that 10 of the top 50 prescribed medicines in America are for anxiety and depression, generating about $10 billion a year for drug companies. So many people unable to cope with the circumstances of their life. And the sad reality is that in spite of all of the effort and the energy and the money, they still can't find peace. So I can tell you with certainty this morning that the world's way does not work. We need to look to God for peace. So many struggling under the load of life, struggling to cope. But the scripture makes it clear, we're not just to cope with stress. We're not just to survive, but we're to overcome with the peace of God that's available to us. Why is there so little peace in the lives of so many Christians? Last week I shared a message with you about the great peace that is available to those who love His law. This message this morning is just going to build on top of that one, because as important as it is that we love the law and we know what the Word of God says, it's not enough just to hear it. We also have to do it. James 1:22 tells us, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Deception is a strange thing, because when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. And here the scripture tells us that we can actually deceive yourself. So I want to tell you a simple way that you can uncover that, that you can know whether or not you're deceiving yourself. If there are scriptures that you hear and yet you don't obey, you don't follow through and do, guess what? You have deceived yourself. The Bible tells us very clear that if we hear the word and yet we don't do it, we've deceived our own selves. And so as we examine our own lives, if there are areas where we know we're not really doing what the scripture says, we need to understand we have deceived ourselves. When we obey, when we do what the scripture says, I want you to know that there is peace like a river. It's what the Bible promises us. Isaiah 48:18, that's our key verse for this morning. It says, "Oh, that you had heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea." I want you to know that your Heavenly Father wants to give you a peace like a river. What an amazing peace that is. A peace that is always flowing. A peace that is always fresh. How would you like to have fresh peace every day? A renewed supply. That's a river of peace. And it is available to those who heed the Word of God. Nothing will destroy your peace faster than disobedience. How we need to see that there is a direct relation between our obedience to God and having the peace of God. Just really simple. We all understand this. The man who cheats on his taxes has no peace. He's always going to be worried in the back of his mind, wondering if he's going to be caught, if he's going to be audited, what's going to happen. The person who lies, who tells a falsehood, always bears a burden of stress on their soul. Certainly, the one who commits adultery has no peace. See, we understand that principle. Just a few verses later in Isaiah, after we see where the Lord speaks of this river of peace, he says, "There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Now, in our culture today, when we use the word wicked, we're talking about the worst of the worst of the worst. But that's not the way it's used in the Scripture. The wicked are simply those who don't obey the Lord. The wicked are those who are ungodly. And when he says the wicked have no peace, he's talking about the same group of people he was speaking to four verses earlier when he said, "If you would have heeded my commandments, your peace would have been like a river." But the wicked have no peace. When God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're not going to have peace until you do. Ask Jonah. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach repentance. Jonah didn't want to do it because he didn't care about those people. He was thrown overboard and a great fish swallowed him. Now, you know, sometimes as we tell this story to children, we kind of, you know, pretty it up a little. You know, I've seen pictures of Jonah in a storybook sitting in the belly of the well and, you know, the light's on and he's all cool. I want you to think about what it would really be like to be in the belly of a fish in utter and total darkness. And the only thing that surrounded him was the stomach of a fish and maybe whatever else that fish swallowed. In total darkness for 3 days. And I don't know how it is, but by the grace of God, he wasn't digested. And some have speculated that maybe he had some effects of that upon him. But he cried out to God. And when he got to the place where he was willing to obey God, he was spit out on the beach and he went and preached. He still didn't have a very good attitude, but he did what God told him to do. And I'm just telling you, there are a lot of believers today that are miserable, and they'd have about as much peace as Jonah in the stomach of a big fish and saying, "I don't know why I don't have peace. I don't know why I don't have peace. Jesus wants to give it to me. Pastor keeps talking about it week after week after week. I don't understand. Why don't I have peace?" When you do what's right and you walk in integrity, it protects us from stress. I want you to turn to my favorite verse. Anybody interested? My favorite verse, Mark. Well, it's Psalm 37:37, and I'll just go ahead and give you the first part. It says, "Mark the blameless man." If you're ever tempted to find fault with your pastor or criticize him, I would just encourage you to speak that verse out loud. But now let's read it as it was intended. It says, "Mark, take note of the blameless man." And here's what he says, "And observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace." You see, when we do what's right in the eyes of God, we got peace in our future. That doesn't mean that we're not going to ever have any problems, ever going to have any trouble, but when we obey God and we do what's right, you can count on this. The future is going to be peaceful. God has a bright future for those that walk uprightly. We can have peace like a river. But the overwhelming anxiety of Christians in this generation is from a form of religion without complete submission to the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7, the prophecy of Isaiah about the Lord Jesus Christ, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." You see, his government and his peace go side by side. They always go together. Because when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, rules and reigns, there's going to be peace. I want to remind you that Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. That was his primary message. Everywhere he went, he preached the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And people were healed, people were set free, lives were changed. Because when the reign of God comes, it changes everything. But you need to understand that when the kingdom comes in our life, when Jesus rules and reigns in our life, he brings that peace with him. Luke 17, 20 and 21, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus makes it very clear that the kingdom of God right now is not on the outside, but it is something on the inside of the believer. And so it is with the peace that we have. Our peace is not the absence of conflict on the outside, but it is an inward peace where Jesus rules and reigns in our life. Romans 14 and 17 says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, that is available to every believer right now as we allow King Jesus to reign in our lives. We can have peace like a river, even in the midst of turmoil and conflict and strife. See, there's always going to be trouble. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be people at odds with one another. Have you memorized John 16, 33 yet? It keeps coming up almost every week. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You need to remember that he spoke this to the disciples on the night that he was betrayed, when he was to be taken to be crucified. So I want to back up and just read the verse before, verse 32. Here's how he sets up this promise of peace. In verse 32, he said, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." He's telling them, things are about to get really, really bad. You're going to be scattered. And then he promises them peace. So I want to tell you that in our lives, we can never look to the circumstances to be the source of our peace. So many people just want to rearrange their circumstances. They want to fix this or fix that, thinking that it's going to give them peace. And I'm telling you that real peace doesn't come from rearranging your circumstances, but it comes from submitting your life to King Jesus. and allowing Him to truly be the Lord of your life. As long as we refuse to surrender all, I'm telling you, as long as there are areas where we don't relinquish control to Him, we're never really going to have peace. We love to sing that old song, I surrender some, I surrender some. That's not the way it goes, is it? But that's the way most people sing it from their heart. Because most people reserve, they hold back certain areas where they don't really want to surrender. But the truth is that as long as we decide what we'll turn over to God and what areas we'll obey Him and which ones we won't, we're still in control. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is not in control. We are. Jesus was Lord of the storm. Even the wind and the seas obeyed Him. He has control over the elements. He can command the wind to stop, and it stops. And I want you to understand that in our life, He waits for us to submit the control of our life to Him. He rules and reigns in our life by our choice. But it is only when we truly make Him King and Lord of our life that He rules and reigns. And when He rules and reigns in our life, I'm telling you, you don't have to be afraid of anything. If the God of the universe is truly Lord over your life, if He is in control of your life, what do you have to fear? The key issue is whether or not Jesus is truly our King. Colossians 1:13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You see, that's what happens when we really believe in Jesus and put our faith and trust in Him. We turn our lives over to Him. We leave that old kingdom of darkness and we are moved over into the kingdom of Jesus, where it is a kingdom of peace. We're no longer subject to the powers of darkness anymore. But I'm telling you the truth. Listen. When we choose to do it our way, when we choose to just disobey God, when we refuse to submit our lives to Jesus, we subject ourselves to that old dominion and that old kingdom. Really quiet in here right now. The generation that we live in, I'm telling you, obedience is so underrated. Listen to what Jesus says about obedience. Matthew 5:19, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It's interesting how he talks about the least of the commandments, because a lot of people decide what is an unimportant commandment. I mean, if they think it's really, really, really important, then maybe they'll keep it. But the struggle and the trouble so often is when we start deciding what's important in the Scripture and what's not. What we can choose to obey and choose to not obey. And so Jesus says, not just the big ones, but even the least of these commandments are to be obeyed. It takes an unconditional obedience. That's a sign that the kingdom of God has come in our lives. It's amazing how people will disregard the Scripture the scripture tells us how to raise our children. And yet, most people just kind of follow along with the philosophies and the attitudes, even the teachings of the world around us in how to raise children. The Bible says very specifically, gives us very specific commands on how to raise your children. Not just in regard to discipline, but things like teach your children the scriptures. Most parents instead give their children an electronic device to entertain them. And then when they don't have any peace, they're like, I don't know what went wrong. I took my kid to church at least once a month. It didn't work. You want peace? I'm just telling you, there's peace if we obey God. See, the scripture gives us very specific commands and principles of teaching about how to treat your spouse. The scripture tells us how we are to deal with our employer. The scripture tells us how to handle our money. And yet most people pick and choose. And then they say, where's the peace? And the Lord says, if you would have heeded my commandments, your peace would have been like a river. He tells us how to live, what to do, what not to do. And it's not popular today. Because even in the church, there's so many that have the attitude that I don't want somebody telling me what to do. And I'm just telling you that Jesus wants to be our King. And He wants to bless us. And He wants to give us peace. All of those things are not really optional. Well, I guess they are optional until you truly make Jesus Lord. And then they're no longer optional. A lot of people, let me just give you a few examples. A lot of people have the idea that Jesus did away with the Sabbath. It's really interesting how that we believe in all of the other Ten Commandments, at least most of us do, but well, honestly, how long will it be until we start doing away with other commandments? Why, some people, some churches already have. How long will it be till it becomes mainstream? It's okay to commit adultery. I want you to understand that we've already adapted the fourth commandment to fit our culture and what we want. The fourth commandment was to keep the Sabbath day holy. And right now, there's this pushback from pop theology that says, now wait a minute, we don't have to do that anymore. Jesus never did away with the Sabbath. Jesus confronted the religious leaders because they didn't want Him to heal on the Sabbath. They didn't want Him to do the works of God on the Sabbath. And I'm telling you, God still heals and sets free and does the works of God on the Sabbath. But you need to understand, Jesus never did away with the Sabbath. He said in Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God gave us the Sabbath as a day of rest and worship. And so many people in our culture are absolutely stressed out. And they think that it doesn't matter whether or not you have a day of rest and worship when God says it does. Your Heavenly Father wants to bless you. And serving the Lord is not going to shortchange you. When you serve God, when you obey His commands, when you do what He wants, you see, the enemy of your soul has always played this card. Well, God's trying to keep you from having a good time. God's trying to keep you from something good. He told Eve, God's trying to keep you back from being wise like He is. Listen, I'm just telling you, God is for you. He wants to bless you. He's not holding back from you. When you obey Him, it brings blessings in your life. Listen, according to Business Insider, Chick-fil-A is dominating fast food. The fried chicken chain generates more revenue per restaurant than any other fast food chain in the U.S. Chick-fil-A's average sales per restaurant in 2014 were $3.1 million. That in spite of the fact that their competitors are all open on Sunday and they close for a day of worship. And it has been proven over and over and over that when you honor God, He will bless you. You need a day of rest and a day of worship. And I know that it's not popular to say, but it's the Word of God. And you can either go with a man-made pop theology or you can go with the Scripture. But Jesus, He didn't just not reject the Sabbath or do away with it. He reinforced it when He says, it's for you. By the way, Jesus kept the Sabbath. Here's another of the Big Ten. Honor your father and mother. The Bible tells us it's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. Listen, when things go well with you, that's a path that tends towards peace. And when things don't go well for you, that means there's going to be extra conflict and trouble, and no parent wants that for their child. But if you don't honor your father and mother, that's what the Scripture says will happen. I remember when I was 18 years old, the Lord really convicted me about honoring my father and mother. We had a lot of strife in my house, and I managed to find myself in the middle of a lot of it. We were believers in the sense that we certainly believed in Jesus, but we didn't go to church regularly and hadn't really served the Lord. But when I was 18, I had really turned my life over to God and made Jesus the Lord of my life. And He convicted me that I needed to truly honor my parents, and I felt like God even put it on my heart to go to my parents and to apologize to them and to tell them that I was sorry for the way that I had acted and treated them, and that I was going to change and do my best to treat them the way that I should as a Christian. And I want to tell you that everything wasn't perfect from then on. Everything didn't change the next day. But I am going to tell you this, that in the living out of that, in walking that out and learning to honor my parents, that things just got better and better and better. And you see, that's the way obedience works. When we obey God, it just opens the door for God's blessing. It opens the door for that peace. And I realized this morning that this idea of peace being tied to obedience may be totally new to some of you, but I challenge you, it's in the Word of God. I want to remind you that Jesus also said, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Things like forgive, love your neighbor as yourself, don't gossip. There's a way to undermine your peace. When you gossip, when you talk bad about other people, it is amazing the rationalization that people come up with for saying bad things about other people. Here's the most common one. Well, it's true. How many of you would like to have a pastor that went around telling everything he knew that was true about other people? No, we know that's wrong. And yet so many people use that as a justification for talking bad about others. And then they wonder why they don't have peace. I'm just telling you that as long as there are areas in our life where we don't obey the commands of the Lord, we're never going to have that peace. Now, pop theology says, don't worry about all those rules and all that stuff. Just love Jesus. But Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. Here's how you know who loves Jesus. Do they keep his commands? Here's how you know if you love Jesus. Do you keep his commands? Two verses that are very seldom preached today. John 14:21. He who has my commands and keeps them, it's he who loves me. And he who loves me, I want you to listen to the blessing that comes here. He said, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Oh, now wait a minute. The Lord is with me all the time, no matter where I go or what I do. Well, God is everywhere. But there's something special that happens in the promise of this verse. As he says, the one who keeps my commands, he's the one that loves me. And the one that loves me, my Father, is going to love him. You see, God loves everybody. God so loved the world. But there's a whole nother level, an experiential level of the love of God. When you obey him and you obey Jesus because you love him, then the Father comes and he loves you. And Jesus reveals himself to you. It's amazing how many religious people think they pretty well got this God thing down. They don't have a clue. They haven't even begun to know him. There are levels, there's a deepness, there's a depth of an infinite God that we can spend a lifetime getting to know. But you never will unless we walk in obedience to him. Because when we do, then the Father loves us and Jesus manifests himself to us. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. This is fantastic. What a promise. How would you like for the Father and the Prince of Peace to make their home with you? Because when that happens, you got peace. That's peace. That's a peace that can't be shaken. That's real. Now, I want to say this very clearly. You cannot earn your salvation. Jesus paid it all. We're not talking about trying to be good enough by works in order to be saved. No, you can only be saved by grace through faith. But we're talking about something real. We're talking about that we obey him because we love him. And we're talking about something real when we say that there are blessings. There's a blessing of peace for those who obey God. Jesus says, Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, it's not just about what we say and calling him Lord. It's about doing the will of the Father in heaven. He says, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And I like the way the New King James Version words that. I think it's something that is a little easier for us to understand than you workers of iniquity. It just practice lawlessness. You see, they disregard the laws of God. They just do it their own way. They do what they think is right instead of what God says. That's lawlessness. But I'm telling you this morning, we can have peace like a river. When we make Him our King and we turn our lives over to Him and we just do what He says, then He takes care of the rest. What an amazing thing. If we just do what He says, He takes care of everything. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, Jesus says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?'" I don't know what you might worry about, but you can stick it in here, because I'm telling you, whatever it is that you worry about. "For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." See, all the things that you worry about, your heavenly Father is well able to take care of. But here's what Jesus says to do about it. He didn't just say, "Oh, don't do anything, just trust God." No, He said to do something. He said, "Seek first the kingdom, the rule and reign of God in your life, and His righteousness. And all these things will be taken care of." What a fantastic promise. I'm telling you, seeking other things, trying to take care of it all yourself, trying to control all of the circumstances yourself, is always going to end in anxiety and fear and worry. But when we turn it over to Him, when we yield the control of our lives to Him, we seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, oh, then He takes control. He takes over. And He is well able to take care of all of our needs and to give us peace. Jesus talked about money a lot. He's talking here in this passage, the primary examples that He gives here, He's talking about material needs. And Jesus talked about money way more than most preachers, because He knows how much it is an issue of the heart. He said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And when we're talking about seeking first the kingdom, when we're talking about turning our lives over to God, releasing control to Him, and letting Him truly be King and Lord, you see, this is why the tithe is so important. It's a matter of the heart. But it's also a matter of control. You know, there are great philanthropists, I got it out, in our day, like Bill Gates, who donate billions of dollars. They'll designate millions to this cause or that cause, to this need or that one, and they decide what will be done with their money. I want you to hear me very carefully. They decide what will be done with their money. They still have control of it. And they're deciding where it's going, how it's going to be used, what it's going to be, what it's going to accomplish. It's their money. Some of you are thinking, "Yeah, that sounds right." But you see, the tithe is not our money. The Scripture says very plainly that the Lord says, "It's mine." Now, we know that as a child of God, all of it ultimately belongs to the Lord. But He says very plainly that the tithe is His. And it is a matter of relinquishing control when we say, "Lord, here's the tithe." And we don't control it. We just give it in faith, in obedience, trusting God. And the amazing thing is that when we honor God that way, He blesses the rest. People get real quiet when you talk about money too. Some people think Jesus did away with the tithe. Jesus reinforced the tithe. Luke 11:42, "Woe to you, Pharisees, you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." Jesus says you're supposed to. But there's a lot of people that leave the others undone. We're just going to focus on love and justice. Let's forget about that other stuff. And the bottom line is, the end result is, they're still in control of their finances and their money, not God. Oh, how we need that peace. How would you like to never, ever, ever worry about money or material needs again? Three of you. That's good. Listen, Jesus says it over and over in Matthew chapter 6. Don't worry. And he's talking about material things. And he says, don't worry. Don't worry. Your Father knows. Don't worry. You don't have to worry. But what you do have to do is seek first the kingdom. Allow him to truly be king and Lord in your life. And he's going to take care of everything else. Amazing. Peace is always wrapped up with obedience, doing right, fearing the Lord, pleasing God. I'm telling you, I just scratched the surface on this today. I'm just going to give you a couple more verses and we're going to pray. Proverbs 16:7, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him." It's amazing what God can do when we just do what God wants us to. Proverbs 3:1-2, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands, for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come. Father, I just thank you for the great promises of peace in the Word of God. I thank you, Father, that you love us, that you forgive us, that you show us such grace and such mercy again and again and again. You're so long-suffering toward us, Lord. But I pray, Father, that today the Holy Spirit would convict us and show us, Lord, where we have chosen our way instead of your way. Show us, Lord, where we have deceived ourselves and disobeyed. Show us, Lord, where there are areas of our lives that we have not truly surrendered to you. I pray, Father, that you just accomplish in each and every heart what you desire this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we dismiss this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to come for prayer. There may be somebody here that you've never really turned your life over to Jesus. I don't know what I would do without Jesus as the Lord of my life. There's no other way to truly live. And I encourage you this morning to come. You can trust him with your life. Invite the Prince of Peace into your life this morning. Some of you here this morning, you know that there are areas of your life that you need to turn over to God. Maybe a specific area that you disobeyed. Maybe something God told you to do you haven't done. I encourage you to come for prayer this morning. And some of you just really struggling, trying to have peace and can't seem to find it. I want you to know your Heavenly Father loves you, and I believe that he can help you find that peace and show you what you need to change, what needs to happen in order for you to receive that peace like a river. Whatever your prayer requests might be, you're welcome to come for prayer as we dismiss. I want to speak this blessing over you as you go this morning. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen.